that I could say that everyone in Canada knows John 3:16. But I think, in fact, I know that we dare not assume that. And this shows that we have a lot of evangelism still to do in this country, because it is a terrible thing that anyone could live and die in Canada and not know the words, the text, the truths, the gospel contained within John 3:16. What hope, on the other hand, there is for those who do know John 3:16, who know perhaps off by heart the words. And if they pray over those words, if they ask the Lord to come into their hearts, if they believe, then we can have hope that they will not be perish, but that they will have eternal life. I want to preach on this text today because this is where I started my gospel ministry some 45 years ago. When I was 20 or close to 21, the youth fellowship that Beulah and I were attending in Omaha Free Presbyterian Church had a gospel outreach for young people. And they asked me to preach at it. And I'd never preached before. And so I chose this text, John 3:16. I don't remember how I preached on it. I don't have notes from it. But that evening, a young boy indicated his desire to be saved. And I had the joy in my very first attempt at preaching John 3:16 to sit down with that young boy and show him verses and pray with him. And he did call on the Lord to save his soul. And so that became a great stir in my heart. My, this is wonderful. And it was an impetus for me to become a gospel preacher. Now, while I hope that this will not be my last gospel sermon, yet as your pastor, this will be my last gospel sermon, Sunday morning sermon here in our congregation. And I pray that God by His Spirit may be pleased to bless this message as He did on that first occasion, that there may be some boy, girl, some listener today that may call on the Lord. Might be you. Maybe you need to call upon the Lord today. Now, above all other occasions, today I must preach the gospel. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And I dare not preach my own notions. And so I must today, above all days, preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So come with me to John chapter 3 and verse 16. And I want you to see in this text the power and the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ from this text. And we've got 4 points today. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be longer, and sadly, it doesn't mean it's going to be any shorter, but we've got 4 points in this text. Number one, Jesus is the Father's Son of infinite love. God so loved the world. Jesus is the Father's gift to His covenant people. He gave His Son. Jesus is the Father's bearer of the sinner's wrath, that we might not perish. Jesus is the Father's guarantee of eternal life, that we might have eternal life. So all of these things are in this one text, and it's all about the Lord Jesus, for He is the Savior that you need. So number one, Jesus is the Father's Son of infinite love. Now, this is described here, Jesus is described here as the only begotten Son. That means Jesus is the Father's equal. He is his other self. He is God himself, and all the fullness of God is in him. And Jesus always dwelt with God. In another part of the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, and I want you to turn there. I want to follow the decision I made a few years ago that I'm not going to rush over Bible passages. I want you to look them up. So I want you to turn, please, to Proverbs 8, verse 24. Proverbs 8, 24. And I want to point out that Jesus was for all eternity the Father's Son, whom he loved infinitely. And it tells us here, Proverbs 8, we'll begin at verse 24. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part, nor the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass from his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And so we can say that Jesus was always with the Father from eternity past, before the creation of the world. Jesus was there. He was always there with his Father. And then this is the statement I want to point out, verse 30. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Oh, what blessed communion between the Father and the Son. The Father took great delight in his Son, and the Lord Jesus rejoiced in his Father. Jesus is the Son of the Father's infinite love. He was there. He was always there. It was family love. It was reciprocal love. It was divine love. That means it's measureless. You can measure the ocean. You could measure the universe, and some think they can. But you cannot measure the degree, the infinite love that is between the Father and the Son, because Jesus is the Father's delight. Now, this becomes the measure by which God expresses his love to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is now the measure, the yardstick of even beginning to comprehend the amazing love that God has for sinners in this world. As God loved his Son and was willing for him to depart from heaven, the delight of his bosom, the one whom he rejoiced over continually, and he said to his Son, I want you to go down into that sin-cursed world. I want you to become man, and I want you to redeem sinners out of the muck and the mire and the pit of their sin. And I want you to suffer on the cross. Oh, Father, I know that you love me, and I will go. And so Jesus was the Son of his infinite love. But this is the measure, the expression of God's love for sinners. And if you're a Christian today, this is how much God loves you. He loves you equally as with his own son. Now, I have another Bible text to share with you, and it's John chapter 15 and verse 9. And when you think on this, it will stagger your mind. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You see, we are united to Christ and we are joint heirs with Christ. And as God loves his Son infinitely, so he loves us. Can you grasp that? It's love so high, so broad, so deep. It is love infinite. And it's toward you and me. That's John 3:16. It is the greatest gospel text in all of the Bible. Now, the second thing is, Jesus is the Father's gift to his covenant people. You may be asking, who are those people? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever. And so none are left out who believe. These people are believers. They are chosen by the Father. They are given to his Son. Jesus comes into the world to save and to deliver them. And all who call upon his name, whosoever, the scope of this, the wonder of this, because Jesus is the Father's gift to them. And he gave his only begotten Son. Now, do you know that? Do you believe that? Have you come personally and said, Lord, I believe. I believe you sent your Son into the world, that you had such love for sinful men that you gave your Son to redeem us. I believe that. I accept that with all my heart. Then you're the whosoever, and you are a child of the Father's covenant love. Think of the wonderful hymn, If I've Jesus, Jesus only. What though clouds are hovering o'er me, and I seem to walk alone, longing mid my cares and crosses for the joys that now are flown. If I've Jesus, Jesus only, then my sky will have a gem. He's a sun of brightest splendor and the star of Bethlehem. Receive the gift. God has sent his Son as a gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever. Put your name in there at the whosoever. You can be saved today. You can become a Christian today when you receive the wonderful gift of the Son whom the Father hath sent into the world. Now, thirdly, here in John 3:16, we see this. Jesus is the Father's bearer of the sinner's wrath. The wrath due to us for the curse of sin. And now we're coming to the purpose of God sending his Son, that we should not perish. What? Jesus taught that a man could leave his soul, lose his soul? What? You mean that someone who is born and created in the image of God can go out into eternity and be damned, perish? What did Jesus mean by perish? Well, let us let the Lord speak for himself. In Matthew 10, I'd like you to turn to this, please. Matthew 10, and verse 28, we read this, Jesus speaking. I have a red letter Bible, and I must say it is something of a help, and we see immediately that this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And in Matthew 10:28, he said this, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the body, kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, what did John 3:16 mean by perish? Hell, fire, for body and soul. And that's why Jesus came into the world. That's why he came, to bear the wrath for sinners, that he might take your hell upon himself. And when you think of Calvary, that's what Jesus was doing when he was nailed to the cross in those hours of darkness, when he was hanging on that tree and the Father punished his Son, pouring out his wrath upon the Lord Jesus. That is the purpose for which Jesus came into the world, to be our sin bearer, to bear away our sin and take away the wrath due to our sin. Did you know that that's what happened on the cross? Do you comprehend the extent of his sufferings? They weren't just physical. They weren't just for a few hours. They were eternal sufferings, because sin deserves the wages of eternal punishment. And on that cross, Christ paid the debt for your sin, every penny of it. Every indebtedness had to go beneath the blood of Jesus on that cross. In our hymn book is this little hymn: "There is a green hill far away, without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. We may not know, we cannot tell, what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for shedding your blood for me and for all who believe. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, dearly, dearly has he loved, and we must love him too, and trust in his redeeming blood, and try his works to do. Don't you see the power of this gospel that is wrapped up here in John 3:16 in 25 words? You have all of the love of God for his Son, the expression and the measure of God's love for sinners, and then Jesus as the substitutionary lamb bearing the wrath of God, paying our hell, that we would be saved. Praise him. Praise him. There is no God like our God. Who is a pardoning God like thee, whose grace so rich and free? I thank God for this gospel. I thank God for those who preached it to me when I was 18 years old and within weeks became a Christian. I thank God for these 45 years of preaching, first in various places as a very young Christian finding my feet in God's Word, as a student minister to my congregation in Keshe, Northern Ireland, in Garva as a newly ordained minister for 3 years, and then now here in Surrey, British Columbia, Cloverdale, 37 years. And I have attempted by the grace of God to preach this gospel. O Lord, cause sinners to believe. O Lord, draw them by your grace and by your Spirit. And therefore, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Necessity is laid upon me because Jesus is the very sin bearer of the Father's wrath. One more thing before we end this text. Number four, then, Jesus is the Father's guarantee of eternal life, that we should not perish, but have eternal life. No, it says everlasting life. And that's the English translation, but that is interchangeable. In English, one Greek word in the Greek, and it's aionios, the same word for heaven, eternal hell, and eternal life, aionios. How can I know that I have this eternal life? Well, of course, we need faith in the Lord Jesus, for he is the guarantee. My faith is not in men, it's not in church, it's not in churchmen. My faith is in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, my Savior. And Jesus' sinless life is my guarantee of heaven, because death is due to the wages of sin. And Jesus had no sin. Therefore, he brought life. He is the life giver, and he has the power to give eternal life to everyone that believes in him. Jesus' atoning death is my guarantee of eternal life. The blood of Jesus is the full payment. And we are pardoned in full so that no one can lay charge against God's elect. Check that out in Romans 8:33. Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is Christ who died. And because of his infinite sacrifice, the value of his blood, which is of infinite value, we have a guarantee of eternal life. And then also Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee of eternal life. God raised up his Son. The payment is accepted. The resurrection life of God is in Christ and every one of his people. Now, we know that history. I don't think I'm preaching to anyone today that is going to debate with me that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. You accept the facts. But what does it mean? Well, let's turn to see what Paul the Apostle, how he built the framework of truth on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. And I reiterate again the decision I made some years ago that I'm not going to rush over Bible texts. I want to give you time to look them up. I want you to see them with your own eyes, and I want you to rejoice in them. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. There's a resurrection day for believers in Jesus. But if there's no Jesus, there's no resurrection. If Jesus is not risen, there's no resurrection. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15:20, that's the argument of the apostle. I'd like you to look there as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. He is. There's no doubt about it. And become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, the first fruits is like the prototype. In fact, that's the Greek word for us. And it's like the first car coming off the assembly line of a car factory. And when the first comes off, well, there's many more to follow. And likewise, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was the first fruits. There's many more. And all who believe in him will be raised up. And it says in verse 21, for since by man came death, By man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, all believers, that is. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. And so Jesus is the guarantee of eternal life. If I've Jesus, I have everything. Now another verse. I think this is the last verse in the message today. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven. Now let me pause a moment. Conversation here means citizenship. It means where we belong. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the guarantee. We look for Him. And if you're looking to Jesus today, you have a guarantee of eternal life. Look what's going to happen now. Look what's going to happen. Verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Oh, the resurrection of Jesus. It guarantees the resurrection of believers, and it guarantees that we are going to be changed into the beautiful, wonderful image of the Lord Jesus. And in the presence of the Father, He will look upon His people changed into the likeness of the Son. What a guarantee we have of heaven. This is our gospel. And I thank the Lord for giving us such a message for the souls of this lost world. Canada needs the gospel. Oh, believer, start praying for souls in this country. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I would today that every one of us will go out and proclaim this message far and wide. Will you do your part? But you must begin firstly by believing, receiving the Lord Jesus as your very own Lord and Savior. And yes, He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you. And you have the guarantee of Jesus in your heart, and to be with Jesus for all eternity. Because of this, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a gospel. Let's rest in it, rejoice in it, and let us preach it to a lost world. Let's bow in prayer, please. Oh God, our Father, our hearts are full today